You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
We're doing it up this style.
Hey, guys. I got beer. On.
Duh.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just hand it to him.
I'll just hand it to him.
I've changed a lot since I last saw you. I don't want to be a joke anymore. I want to be a real hero.
You wear a clown costume and go out and beat up people. Chris, take something bad and make something good out of it.
I need to find the peacemaker. He killed my son.
You're being monitored right now.
By who?
Rick Flagg, Senior.
Whoa.
What is it?
I have a dimensional portal. And it leads to a parallel world.
What?
It's not that big a deal.
Get the f out, it's not.
My son's a better man you could ever dream of being.
I've tried to make up for my mistakes, but I'm not sure redemption is possible.
He's in love with you. Me and Chris, it's never gonna be a thing.
I'm going to make a life in the other world.
There's another dimension. It's exactly the same as ours.
But better. Best dimension ever.
Dude, that's sick.
We need to close that dimensional rift.
The Condoms are partnering you up with our new agent, Rip Jagger.
Who's Rip Jagger?
Hey, fatty.
No matter how green the grass is over there, you belong here with us.
We're gonna get Chris back.
Met your own self from a parallel dimension? You're wearing his clothes?
You think I bought this?
That's painful.
Hi, Mom. We're going to my secret room. You're not allowed to follow.
You must be John.
Uh-huh.
Jesus.
You're not that dorky.
Shut up, Mom.
I've got nothing for the rest of that 80s hair metal. You know, I don't have the metal part. Maybe you've got the hair part. I don't have the metal part. Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. It's time for the roundup. There we go. Hey! Finally got the
Peter, if you weren't here last week, which I don't think you were, every time he says roundup,
yep,
there is a swoopa.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Do you mean a fucking whip crack?
No.
No, a swoopa.
Yeah.
That makes it sound absolutely terrible. So that's why Quinny is not joining us for the rest of the show. Jill, Peter, how are you guys doing?
Can you, like, cut us off? Can you kick us out?
I mean, I
can
could.
Can Quinny just disappear if he annoys you that much?
I mean, if he just fades out of the back of things. I mean,
I feel like it would add fun new stakes.
Yeah. Fun new stakes. I mean,
I want a sound effect as well. I want a bow bow. There, I and just, like, eliminated.
No, that's, I didn't do the elimination. What I did for, like, if you look at the Twitch show, I just turned Quinny's feed off. Like, he's no longer appearing on the Twitch feed. He's not there at all. I mean, Is he there? Oh, wait, he's back. Oh, no, he's got to go. Oh, he's back. Oh, he's got to go. There we go. Anyway. He's in the other dimension. He's not in the other dimension. Anyway.
Hang on. If I go and find myself in another dimension, do I get to find a cooler version of me?
Oh, you're pretty cool.
Oh, thanks, Jill.
Is that what you were fishing for?
Totally. Line, sinker, rod.
And copy
give
of
me those compliments.
And copy of Angling Times. Hello, and we're all back. We're all there. Hello, Jill. Hello, Peter. Hello. Hello, Quinny. Hello, me.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola. Pete, how are you going? Have you done all the homework? I'm sure you watched all the shows that were reviewed in your absence.
Well, as far as I could tell, there is only one episode available of the one show I agreed to watch tonight, so I have done that homework. Yes.
Yay!
Thank you for making it easy.
Release dates and things. Yeah, because there is only one episode of Peacemaker out, but it's out, and that's fun.
Yeah.
And there's been a few episodes of Alien Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, very interesting. It's
all very, very interesting. I do love our TV roundups because they sometimes can be, we're going to roll round up an entire fucking season, or three, or sometimes it's just like one episode.
Sure.
Yep.
This is why we don't review and give it a figure on the roundup. That's why it's just called a roundup. There you go.
Yeah.
We're just talking about
the main reason we do that is because of the Orville.
Yes. Because we fucked that one up.
Let's learn your lesson.
Yep, absolutely.
Hard. Hard.
Pete, out of curiosity, just wondered, did you catch any of Chief of War?
No. Oh. Sorry.
Okay.
When you get time, that will be a good one to watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Twisted Metal? Did you catch any Twisted Metal? No.
I mean, I was on the fence for the first season. I don't know if I'm up for a second season at the moment.
Fair enough. But second season does just like completely give up and say, fuck it, let's go stupid.
Yeah. And it actually has a car race. Like, if there's some way we can sell this to, there is a car race in season two where there is. But Chief of War, quite good. You can go and like, it's not C.
you keep saying that.
But you do, the lady doth protest too much.
You do get to see a lot more of Jason Momoa's ass. So,
yeah, if that's your thing, have at it.
Sure. But that was last week. This one's this week. What are we doing? Peacemaker.
Yeah. Yes.
Not pacemaker.
You know, that band from the 60s would have been really different if it was Jerry and the Peacemakers.
Well,
it's Jerry fine. With a couple of big fucking guns.
We've got the new Peacemaker, because you remember the first season of Peacemaker, we were still in the depths and the throes of the somewhat Snyderverse, the DC.
EU.
Like all of the movies, with like Shazam was still a thing.
Technically.
Black Adam was coming out.
I mean, it sits in that really awkward thing of the leftovers, basically, because remember, Peacemaker actually started in the Suicide Squad.
Yes.
And that still is technically a sequel to the first Suicide Squad, which had the Flash in it. And... you know, all that sort of stuff. Like there's all of these things that you get through it and you're like, this has still got the stink of Snyder about it.
But we're post-Superman now.
Mm.
Now we have James Gunn, who has an official job at DC. Not just director of things related to DC. He is now director of all things DC.
Yep.
Well, cinema.
Yes.
DC Studios.
And in the first, less than a minute, I think it was, of this one, he's gone and said, you know what? Fuck your history.
Yeah. I thought, wow, I don't remember that. And then I realised that
No.
Yeah, we've retrofitted. That's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, whatever. Where was I when that happened? I'm like, wow, I really fucking have a terrible memory.
Yeah,
I'm like, shit, okay, wow.
I would remember that. And then, like, I would think when I was watching Superman, I wouldn't have been so confused about those characters. But,
yeah, I would have thought, oh, yeah, I remember them from Peacemaker season one. I'm like, way to fucking gaslight me.
Uh-huh.
Way to gaslight myself. It's like, wait, what? No. Were they there? That was a different, there was an Aquaman, wasn't there?
Yes, yes.
Yes, you're right.
There was an Aquaman of
very Flash. Confusing for anyone who has not watched this episode right now.
Yes, good point. Yes.
Well, I mean, look, it's the first episode. It's already been out. I don't really think we have to worry. Do I have to put the spoiler logo up? I don't really.
Well, it's in the first minute. I don't think.
Yeah, I was going to say in this particular case, I think.
And it's literally like retrofitted into the previously on to make it seem like you already saw it in the last season. So which I think it's like a
ultra gaslighty.
Yeah.
You put it in the previously on. I'm like, oh, wow, I really don't fucking remember this. God, what the fuck's wrong with me? I really need to rewatch a whole fucking season before I start a new one. I've forgotten everything.
All you got to remember is that Peacemaker in the first season saved the Earth from being colonized by space bugs, butterflies, mm-hmm. whatever they were, and shot his dad. That's the only two things. He finally murdered his abusive father and saved the planet. And then at the end, the Justice peeps decided to mm-hmm. turn up, and now the Justice gang.
Yeah, they were all silhouette originally. Mm-hmm. And now they've been retrofitted to include Guy Gardner and Hawk Girl.
Well, I mean, not just include, also remove people. They weren't just silhouetted to include. They were just like, nope, move. Yes, one goes, yep, that one goes in there. Okay, nope. And print.
Yep. Look, I know a lot of people were pissy about it, and there were a lot of Snyder bros who were really, really angry because it was literally erasing their whole thing.
I mean, how could it anger anyone if they're a fan of the comics? If they're a real mm-hmm. fan who've read comics, they know they do that shit all the time. I was like, that doesn't exist. It's like, great, what?
Personally, I think it's one of the funniest retcons I've ever seen, where they've just gone, nope, didn't happen.
Wow, this TV show hurt my feelings.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. I want my Batman and Superman to be angry and dark and gritty and both have parents called Martha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, we are back for season two of Peacemaker. Do you want a very, very quick synopsis?
Sure.
I'd have absolutely not prepared for this.
Oh. Okay. That's okay. You don't even have to.
Great.
Do you really, really want to taste it?
Okay. Well, I'll chuck that in there. Why not? I'll just throw that in there anyway. Later.
Okay.
I'll fix it in post.
So in season two, Peacemaker, I didn't work out of a voice. Sorry.
Oh, right.
I've got nothing.
We can't hear you.
Yes. Oh, right.
I want you to do in your best 80s hair metal.
That's a challenge.
Wow. Congratulations. For the first time perhaps ever, my brain has just gone.
Do you really want to? Do you really want to taste it?
I really can't. I was just like, in season... No, I can't
just
do it.
Just get it out, quick.
Okay, in season two, Peacemaker discovers an alternate world where life is everything he wishes it could be, but this discovery also forces him to face his traumatic past and take the future into his own hands. That's it.
Yes.
Nice and vague, and we've had literally one episode, so...
Finally, the DC's doing multiverse. Just what we were all so waiting for after the couple of attempts that the DC television and also the Marvel Universe has done with multiverses, because everyone loved that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look, hey, I actually liked some of the multiverse stuff that they did on TV. I liked Crisis on Infinite Earths, so I thought that was pretty fucking cool. But, yes... But. Do we need to do it all the time?
I mean, if they're just plowing the fields of comics, yes, we do. Mm. We need to have an alternate timeline.
I'm actually kind of into this one, though, because I think, like, there is a really, like, there's boring shit you can do with alternate universes, and there's interesting shit you can do. And mm-hmm. I think there is an interesting thing that you can do with a character like Peacemaker, who is fundamentally broken. Like, you know, he has been through an abusive childhood. He has taken many of the wrong lessons from it and turned into a very, very destructive and problematic person who is trying to do good. So what is interesting is the ability to look at sliding doors on that, you know. That I think could be interesting.
Yeah, it's like, let's watch Peacemaker do everything but go to therapy.
Therapy. Oh my god. Dude. You should be writing.
But he's not the only person in this show that needs therapy.
I thought you were talking about us here, and I was like, Jesus Christ, Joe. I mean,
that's a surprise, this is an intervention.
Oh, good.
If you don't mind, I'd like to just disassociate for a while. So I'm just
How long do we get to unpack each other for this therapy?
The elephant in the room. the new opening credits.
Okay. I was wondering how long it was going to take before we opened up that can of worms.
Well, yes. I mean, was it first season we had Do You Want to Taste It by Wigwam? and then this season it's Foxy Shazam. And I didn't know either of those bands until this happened.
Yeah. I'll say it's quite hard to top that first season opener. I don't think a ballad was the way to go.
Yeah, it just doesn't go as hard.
No.
It doesn't work the same with the dance moves. And
And when you're kind of like derivative on the dance moves, I'm like, okay, they've used the same choreographer, but can we like maybe mix it up a little bit and not do the same stuff we saw before?
Maybe
try and get something that suits the song a bit better.
Yeah, they could have gone full performance art kind of, you know, they could have gone full Kate Bush and put everyone in like Floyd and put Vaseline on the lens and gone for that ballady effect. And I think it might have worked a little bit better. But yeah, I kind of watched the first, like the opening bit of the second. I'm like, interesting.
Doesn't quite have the same pizzazz.
No. Doesn't have that punch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the quirky dance moves are great, but it's really not matching with the music.
No. I did see, obviously a lot of people have commented on it.
Sure.
Not been overly popular.
The people crying. They're crying in the chat.
Not as much as the Snydery ones, but there are some crying. Yeah.
Taking no prisoners tonight, Jill. Love it.
No. Fuels me, makes me stronger.
Give your man tears.
Yeah. I kind of like that idea. Like after the first season, this whole fandom, like, yeah, the dance, and then they came out going, "This isn't the dance we wanted." It's like it's not yours.
And that's what I've seen a few responses from Gunn and that saying, "Yeah, we knew that we were going to struggle. Like we were never going to be able to top it, because you don't top that." So what we wanted to do was find a dance that was emblematic of the season. So I have a feeling it may be one of those ones where by the end of the season, we might have a bit more of an idea as to why it is the way that it is.
Okay.
Is that the kind of reason because they're all lying down because they're all dead at the end of the season? Maybe that's
I don't know. Apparently, so interestingly, I saw that they sent out screeners to a bunch of people of only the first five episodes. And they've very, very specifically said that everything that happens in them is very fine. Talk about all we want, whatever. But the last three episodes are massive, massive game changer stuff. So,
okay.
But then again, of course, that's what they're going to say because that's what you say in marketing.
Yes.
Yes. Keep watching.
Yeah. Trust us. It's going to be
going to get good.
Yeah. You got to give it five eps, guys, and it's going to be great.
They said the same thing
like
about
Schitt's Creek, where it's 20 seasons. No. I love Schitt's Creek, by the way.
Only from season two onwards.
Correct.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. Mm-hmm. We could go all day on the things you haven't watched, Quinny. But
hey, I've been watching The Great lately. Is that okay? Does that make me a better
person? Oh, well done.
Yeah.
That's worth watching.
Sure. one of the things I want to say, it's still... While the first credit thing, I was watching it, I'm like, okay, this has set me off on a weird... sort of tangent. After a little bit of time in the first episode, I was like, it's okay. I don't know where it's going. It did kind of at least ramp up a little bit towards the end. And after that episode, I was like, okay, I see it. Yeah, this is a pretty good continuation of that kind of Peacemaker flavor. So I'll be forgiving enough on it. Like there's not enough to really make a good opinion of it, but you know, I did get enough Peacemaker reaction.
That's good. I'm glad you got enough.
Question though.
Mm-hmm.
During the orgy.
The other elephant in the room.
Yeah. No. That's not an elephant. That's something else.
There's a couple of the people in that did. Yeah. But
kind of elephants.
Yeah. There was a different thing. The question I had though, do you feel that was straying a little bit towards the boys' territory? Where it was a shock and awe factor rather than a really necessary character
Yes, I kind of noted that scene of kind of like, we try to make a statement. We trying to make we're really trying to make a statement here.
Yeah. Because it wasn't really set up that way. Like, I mean, we get the idea that Peacemaker does like to party in the first, you know, in the first season. You got that whole idea. And there was that, was it the one of the butterfly affected women that he'd slept with, and they had that huge fight in the apartment. Yeah. You know, that kind of, you know.
But that was awesome because that was like a pure wrestling, like, cool fight.
Yeah, this was just kind of like, oh, he's depressed and now he's going to go back into bad habits, which just seems to be lots of drugs and suddenly a bunch of other people that he knows for some reason that can come around for a midweek orgy.
I don't know that he knows them.
No.
I've never used dial an orgy. How does it work? Like, do you, just sort of go, hey, what's up? I'm at home doing some drugs. Anyone want to come around and you can all do just be naked? Is that how it works?
I don't know, because if I'd known about that in my late teenage years to early 20s, I would have had a very different life.
Yeah, true.
I feel for a start, I probably wouldn't be on a podcast, let's be honest.
you would have had a much shallower life, Quinny. Now that you're pious and godly, it's better for you.
Sorry, I did want to point out that at work the other day, I had a student, and when we were talking about TV shows and stuff, she said, maybe you should try being shallow. Like, just try being more shallow. And I was like...
Talk about enjoying stuff.
Yeah.
Based on separating the art, the artist.
Thing, but it was basically, maybe you should be more shallow. And I was like, I don't know how to take that.
So, Peacemaker, shallow? Or highbrow awesome?
I don't know.
Has it enticed you to watch more, Peter?
Not that particular scene.
No, we've moved on from the orgy, but if you want to stay there, okay, fine.
Okay.
I can't convince you to move on.
The one episode that we saw, yeah, 100%, because despite the orgy, it does feel like they're gonna go for some emotional depth in whatever the arc is going to be. Even during the first episode, there was quite a strong emotional arc happening. Yeah. And I mean, you gotta have a multiverse, I guess.
I mean, it's opened up. We can see what's going to happen. It's like Chris is like wanting to find the place where he feels like he can belong, because there's alternate versions and he's run into the one which has a supportive father and his brother's still alive, and that's where he kind of wants to be. And like, we can see where he's going for his character growth in this. But what I want to know is, how many doors are there in the weird multiverse dimensional portal? And is everyone going to have one of these arcs where they try to find a better life? Because they're really setting that up with Rick Flagg Sr. Trying to find his son again. And I just absolutely 100% do not believe Frank
trying
Grillo.
Trying to find his son that's the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still can't buy it, guys. I looked up their fucking human, not the human, their real person ages. They're human beings.
As opposed to the dog ages.
Yeah. Frank Grillo is 60 and Joel Kinnaman is 45. I mean, sure, you could sire a child at 15 years old, but I question it.
Yeah, well, maybe Rick Flagg did that sort of thing that happens.
Unless Joel's like 30 playing 20 like they do in the CW. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, he's just 90210.
Yeah. Maybe Rick Flagg Sr. got a girl pregnant at 15 and then ran away and joined the army, and then that's how that kind of, like, I'm maybe.
Well, I want to see that character arc.
Dion desperately trying to headcanon this.
I can make it work, damn it.
Oh, look, we can suspend our disbelief. But yes, I've been confused about that too, Jill. I'm like, well, he's not that old. What's happening?
Yeah.
I heard or read somewhere that there's 99. I think there was, did you guys watch beyond the credits to the
behind the scenes stuff?
No.
Well, there's
you did all the research.
Obviously they do the extra bit behind the scenes, and then they have after the credits, you know how last season they had like extra lines from scenes, or like not bloopers, well, but like it's old takes.
The one that I got was the bit about 30 Seconds to Mars and how he's not a fan.
Yes, and then after that, there's a behind the scenes docker.
Okay.
So they talk more about it there.
Okay,
I don't usually watch the behind the scenes docker, but it was there, and you know.
I've actually been having a bit of a listen to the podcast, like, which is James Gunn and his wife, who I can't think of the actress's name. I can only think of Harcourt. Jennifer Holland. Thank you. And they get various different cast members on to talk about the show. And they started by talking about season one, but I enjoy a bit of that stuff. And there they too tend to go quite a bit deeper than just like those after shows. It's more like, hey, we're really going to talk about why I made these decisions. And it's entertaining. Interesting. I did find it interesting, that whole thing of doing the whole pocket universe, because in the first season, it's like, it's almost a throwaway gag.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, he's got a pocket universe. And you're like, what?
Yeah, I kind of feel like, we're going to do it in Superman, so let's just, like, do it a little bit more in Peacemaker.
Mm. Either that, or they did it in Peacemaker and went, oh, well, that's kind of a throwaway gag, and now they've done the big thing in Superman. You're like, oh, well, that's actually should probably be a bigger deal than just some guy has it in his closet.
I mean, that's kind of what he says in the behind the scenes.
Right.
Like he kind of likes taking something that was throwaway and turning it into something bigger.
Okay. I mean, but it's almost universe destroying once you've got an acceptable thing. Because if you set something up in a big tentpole movie, which is like, oh, they've opened a universe, but it's unstable and, you know, Lex Luthor couldn't make it work and blah, 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 blah. And then some asshole King Dragon of the fucking Ku Klux Klan just builds one in his cupboard and it's all stable and everything's fine. You're like, really?
But did he build it in his cupboard?
Yes, because he's the inventor.
He may be the inventor, but where did he, or did he steal the tech from somewhere else, or who the fuck knows?
Maybe it's that alien with the nine eyes.
Because that cupboard door opens into multiple places.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cupboard door seems to open into like a transit zone that then goes on to multiple places.
Yeah.
And there's always a door.
Who are you to say which one in which door made the place?
Look, all I'm asking for on my TV shows is just to be able to follow the rules of physics and science.
I wonder if after the first episode there may be some attempt of explanation of how this exists in this world.
No, the first episode is self-contained, and that is all we're talking about.
That is the only information upon which we are able to think about the Peacemaker.
Yep, and we will not take into account anything that comes afterwards because we hate it and we're stopping now.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Peacemaker season two, it's a big pile of shit. I don't think it's worth anything.
Yep.
Much like the Orville after one episode, didn't like it.
God. I want to give a shout out to the shitty graphic design in Adebayo's business card. Who's that on the card? Like, it's me. Like, oh.
I love that they chose the word gaunt.
Yeah. Yes, it was. It was good. I mean, it's like, do we enjoy the other scene, like the bit where they got in Green Lantern and Hawkgirl? to do the video.
Oh my god! I mean, Max Lord. The interviews.
It felt a little
awkward. That was quite funny.
Strange, but at least it helped to tie it all in. I think
it does, and like I love that they threw in a couple of extra sort of characters in there as well.
Oh my god! Yeah, White Rabbit. Like, what a fucking shit character to put in.
Did she come all the way from Gotham to do that? Or was it from Bloodhaven?
You gotta love the fact though that they still went out there and they made a full costume based on a comic design for mm-hmm. someone to wear that is doing that, because you know, as we all understand, those things aren't cheap, you know, because if you do a shitty cosplay, isn't that right, Jill? People can pick out a shitty wig if it doesn't work.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about shitty cosplay, thank you.
You know it when you see it, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it was giving
that
me
hard front.
That scene was giving me a lot of Toast of London. Can you hear me, Clint Fandango? Yes, I can hear you. Like working on that gag and just mm-hmm. making it, you know, run its course. I'm just happy that Nathan Fillion keeps getting roles as being a dickhead.
Yeah.
We all need to see more of that haircut. Has it enticed everyone to come back and watch more? Are you going to watch the rest of the season?
Yeah.
Something you're going to have to
do on? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Interesting. Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good then.
Entertaining.
Yeah, we can't really do it. It's just like, it was good to have it back again. A bit of the old familiar.
Yes. But one thing I did want to say, the fight sequence in the bar with Holland, I thought that kicked some fucking ass.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Like, that was a really impressive fight sequence. It reminded me a bit of that one in season one with the butterfly woman. And
mm-hmm.
like, knock down, drag out, kick ass all over the place. Liked it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Sure. Nice. Okay. Yeah, can't wait to see more Peacemaker. Now we're going to move on to something a little bit more lighthearted and fun.
More? Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Well, here's the trailer now.
If I'm not human, what am I?
Did you even think about it? Was it blue skies from Earth? Did you see the green world?
This ship collected specimens, 5 new life forms from distant planets, monsters.
We don't lock them down. It will be too late.
It was all very, very creepy and spooky. And no, we're not talking about the Addams Family. We're talking about Alien Earth. Yay! Excellent. Now, Peter, our job is to convince you that this is a television show worth your time, knowing specifically you haven't had any interest in watching any of the other Alien movies at all, have you?
I just figure, why start now?
Excellent. That's okay. Just to think of all the things you can go back into and keep watching. No. Yeah. Okay, fine.
I have such a backlog, guys.
it's true. It's true. I mean, you know, like you can go down all of the rabbit holes. It's fine. Alien
what
Earth.
What I do and don't watch them.
Just read the wikis. Okay, so Noah Hawley, very exciting that he was going to come out here and have a crack at aliens or the alien mythos. After doing really great shows like Legion.
Yep.
Fargo,
yep. Really kind of interesting visually and also interesting character-driven stories. So this is a really interesting – it's a hot take.
Yeah.
It's a very hot take. And it has been somewhat divisive.
Yes.
Just a bit. Pete, have you watched much Noah Hawley stuff? Like, did you?
I don't know. Have I?
So, did you watch Legion?
No.
Did you watch?
Did I? Oh, wait. Yes.
I think you did.
Yes. I watched Legion. What was the second one?
Fargo.
No, not the TV show.
Right.
But I like Legion.
Mm.
Did you watch Bones?
Yes.
He wrote some Bones. Yeah, he wrote some of the Bones stuff.
Okay, sure.
It's fine. But yeah, okay. What are we saying? What about in the chat there? Oh, okay. Only seen Alien and Prometheus. Ah, oh, sad. Yeah. But there's plenty more out there.
There is. Now. Yeah, so this is very definitely the Noah Hawley take on Alien.
Yeah.
and I very specifically say Alien here.
Yes. Yeah. I would say it's very Alien with a touch, just a touch of Romulus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm.
But with a definite imprint of aliens as a mythos in the world. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mean that it's not like Aliens because it's not very gung-ho, but there is a full ecosystem that was kind of understood in Aliens about how things worked, and I can feel that getting pulled out a bit more in this one.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's now at that point where Aliens has its own kind of alien, the whole alien thing has its own very specific vibe. Mm. And like, I think it's really interesting to me because it has the vibe. It feels like Alien. Yeah. And it, you know, the set designs, the pacing, the way that it kind of interact, like
even the sound design,
very much so. Like, it's got a really strong Alien vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's all this other stuff that they're kind of bringing in from here, there, and everywhere. So, like, there's elements that, you know, come out of Prometheus or Covenant. There's other elements that, you know, you're kind of pulling out of the Aliens. And as I said to Dion, there's the vaguest and weirdest possibility that this may actually, like, turn Alien versus Predator Requiem into an actual part of the story.
Could do. Talking about timeline for people who don't know what it is. It is the timeline where this is sitting. It is Prometheus, Alien Covenant, Alien Earth, Alien Romulus, Aliens. Yeah. So this is
in between Covenant and the first,
the original Alien. Do you have a synopsis, Quinny?
Yes. Though, I mean, it's going to be tricky.
Can you do it in the accent of the alien queen instructing her drones via pheromones and breath? Which, see, to Jill and Quinny, that's funny. And Peter is sitting there going, I don't know what that means. That's almost the other thing. Just a little like think of it this way, Pete, in the Aliens film when Ripley runs into the Queen can just basically go like, and then things happen because she's communicating in some unknown way. And it's just a lot of breathing.
Though we many, many years ago decided that the alien queen sounds like sweetie.
Yeah. It's a queen.
Like she wears heels. She is definitely a beautiful, beautiful woman. Okay. I'm not going to do it as
no, just go regular. Just a regular. It's fine. No.
Okay, the Weyland-Yutani research vessel Maginot crashes onto Earth after a failed specimen collection mission, unleashing both dangerous xenomorphs and a number of other alien creatures. The events unfold in Prodigy's corporate city and involve the corporation's cutting-edge hybrid technology, that being terminally ill children uploaded into synthetic bodies, the first of which is named Wendy.
There's some fucked up little creatures in this one.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
Thing,
yeah.
That octopus eyeball thing. Yeah. There's bugs. Ugh.
So the blood sucker. I love that Peter's face is now just going.
You're not selling me on this. Okay. I mean, I've got a good track to get you to sell it on you, though, Peter. I mean, all I've got to say is it's a reimagining of Peter Pan.
Yes.
And that is
like,
how
the reimagining is like really squinted and far, far away. But
it's like if Peter Pan was a magic eye.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's definitely
you
got
kind of have to look through it and wait for the image to appear in front of you.
But it's also, like, because it's Noah Hawley, it's also quite smart and it's doing interesting things. Like, you know, there is this ship, it's called the Maginot. You know, the Maginot ends up crashing and falling back to Earth and releasing all of the terrible danger, which is a reference to the Maginot Line, which was the line that they tried to do in France to stop the invasion, and it was completely useless. Like, this is kind of the things that Noah Hawley's quite well known for. Like, he's very good for putting stuff out there and going, hey, this is an interesting, I'm doing this for a reason. Like, everything he touches kind of does stuff for a reason, which is why I'm giving the faith for him having all of this explanation, this Peter Pan shit, which was irritating me. Pretty heavy-handed Peter Pan stuff, because they're actually like, the characters are actually called like Wendy and the Lost Boys and all sorts of things. Toodles. So yeah, they refer to it obviously in there. But I'm going to let that go through because I feel like it's going somewhere. And it is an interesting thing by introducing more alien species and also talking about humanity. Humanity seems to be the more alien object in this show to me,
as it always was.
Sure.
Like, you go back and you look at it, that even in Alien One, it was about corporate greed. The real monster was capitalism, and in Aliens, the single most deadly creature in that was Burke.
Yeah.
You know,
corporate interests.
Yeah. So Peter, if you're not aware, there are synthetic humans in the Alien universe, and this one is looking particularly at a new company. So there are three conglomerates, and now there's a fourth one that they've introduced in this series, that are specifically taking terminally ill children and uploading their brains into synthetic bodies. So there's like a little bit of a, what would you call it? Like a making humans immortal kind of morality issue, as well as the guy that runs the company is the world's youngest trillionaire, because we are now in the year 2120, which is just terrifying that there's a trillionaire in his 20s. So yeah, it's a interesting kind of story from that perspective, but personally this is just the Xenomorph Queen's world and we're living in it. I want to see more aliens terrorizing people and just ripping shit up.
Yeah, we do love a good...
I was quite confused in the first episode. Like, I thought I had missed a whole chunk, but literally they just omitted a whole chunk of, like, what had happened to this ship to make it crash. So I hope we're going to get something filled in later.
Yeah.
That shows us what happened.
I kind of like that in a way, because it did feel like it's like, okay, you've seen other Alien films, so you know what probably happened on that ship.
I want to see it.
I'm sure we're going to get there, Jill. I feel like because the way that they had it set up and they've done, you know, they filmed it. You know, they filmed the destruction of the whole thing and they cut it up like in there.
Yeah.
It's a given. You know, you wouldn't have wasted all of that set, all of those characters, all of those people that you got a quick glimpse into. You couldn't have wasted it. It's gotta be there.
How do we feel about unhot synthetic Timothy Oliphant?
Are we going to talk about the Oliphant in the room?
Oh!
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Yes, him and his peroxide eyebrows as well. go and have a look at some of his interviews where he was like, no, it's for a role, because he had peroxide eyebrows.
Did he?
Like, for months walking around, people like, weirdo. It's like,
he has a wig, but, you know, you can't do anything about the eyebrows.
Do anything about the eyebrows.
You can get.
You know what? He's growing on me.
Okay. I want to see him get it at the end.
Yeah.
Hang on. What kind of get it?
Like, get eaten by the alien.
Oh, get destroyed. Right. Yeah.
See, Peter and I are on the same page.
Even I have no idea what's happening.
Well, what do you know? You've got humans in this world. For the human side, you've got humans, synthetics, which are fully synthetic human beings, and like programmable robots, which is what Timothy Oliphant is. You've got cyborgs, which are augmented human beings, and then this new class, which is human consciousness in synthetic body. So, like, there's this part. And then
and who's getting it out of all of that?
Timothy Oliphant. He's getting all of them. Well, it is. He's kind of the daddy to the human brain in the synthetic body ones. He's hunting a cyborg. He takes orders from the human person, and he is a synthetic person, daddy. You know,
he's a straight up synth, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%.
Synth daddy.
Synth daddy.
He's got an awful lot of Rutger Hauer going on from Blade Runner.
Not kind of evil yet. He's still working with the corporation, and his job is to protect and take care of the synthetic humans who have had consciousness downloaded into them. And the interesting thing in this series is the consciousnesses that have been downloaded into these kind of adult or young adult synthetic bodies are children. They're children with terminal illness who have been, I don't know, purchased by the corporation, and then they're running off-book experiments because there are no longer any countries. There's just corporate zones. Mm. So, you know, welcome to the late-stage capitalism gone amok. Maybe that will get Peter into it. Also, lots of blood and gore.
Yeah. Thematically, I find that stuff fascinating because this whole, the whole thing of Peter Pan and Wendy and Neverland is this whole thing of never growing up. And now you've got these characters who are kind of forced to grow up, but then are never able to grow up because, as far as we're aware, their synthetic brains are not going to develop. So you are now literally locked into a developmental pause in an adult body. And there's so much stuff in there. For me, Alien has always been more interesting talking about the themes and what is being talked about rather than just, it's a cool monster that kills people. I love the cool monster that kills people, but always interested in the themes. And this one, you know, about what it means to grow up, what, you know, understanding adult motivations is all about, but then also what... And my theory, and I don't know whether this is spoilery or not, is that a lot of it is about the biomechanic existence of the alien itself. So what we're seeing is all of these different explorations of biomechanoid life, synths, human brain inside synth body, cyborg, humans with synthetic parts. And we're seeing Wendy have all these bad reactions to the aliens because I think the aliens, you know, are also mechanical and bioorganic at the same time. And I reckon that there's going to be a whole thing about that. So that's my theory. I'm putting it out there.
Wendy's hot take. That's okay. You can put it out there. You see what will happen. I mean, I've got the thing of understanding that. So in Aliens... there was that throwaway line on the ship before they went down, which I really kind of got it and was like, what are we doing? Like, what are the military getting their briefing? Like, what are we going to do? Is this a stand-up mission, sir, or another bug hunt? And then, you know, they go, oh, it's a xenomorph. It's like, it's a bug hunt. And then that was just kind of one of those things like, oh, wait, in the future, do they encounter so many weird species on different planets that they go to that this is kind of boring for them? Like they're like, oh, it's another one of these fucking things, like as a life form that we've got to track down because it can do some shit. And I like how they've expanded that with this show by introducing the idea that there are many aliens.
Yeah.
Our traditional alien is still there, but we have specimens from all corners, which are all evil. Well, not evil, but all deadly in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an interesting thing as well. One may be the apex predator, but the rest of them are also interesting and of interest and give you an opportunity.
And I think also really play into that body horror stuff too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one of the things that works so well about the alien is the idea of this thing that gestates inside you.
Yeah.
That's horrific. So now we've got a bunch of other alien things that you're like, okay, well, what does that do? Well, that one apparently steals one of your eyes and turns into a...
Oh, I really hope that Beck never sees It's that clip from episode 2 with the cat.
No. No.
I'm like, oh no.
I love that Peter's face has been an absolute journey.
We're not really selling it. Focus more on Peter Pan.
I mean, we've gone from Timothy Oliphant getting it to pies being stolen. Like, it's gone way downhill, guys, in terms of convincing me to watch this thing.
There's definitely
imagine an eyeball shit. Where all the ocular nerves are its little legs and it can crawl across the ground
and attack you.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I'd love to watch that. Yeah. Why didn't you say so sooner?
I mean, yeah, it's like, ultimately, it's an interesting show, but they do give us exactly what we want almost immediately, which is we're here for the alien and we get to see the alien, and they don't try and hide it. They don't try and, you know, mystify it. It felt like it was very much forefronted, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, which mythos are they going to follow? Are they going to follow the one where there is pretty much like just one, or are they going to go the other way, which is like, oh no, they make hives and then hundreds and hundreds of them start pouring out? Like, I'm really interested. Yeah, I know.
Well, and there's also that thing of going, okay, where did these eggs come from? Because quite famously, Ridley Scott really didn't like aliens. He disliked the entire concept of the alien queen. Didn't like the change to the life cycle. He wanted the alien to stand alone by itself.
Ridley can shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Because that was like, and they're different films. They, you know, one is a standalone, you know, monster movie in space. The other is an action romp with big guns and, you know.
And everyone's trying to pull them all together to make them all kind of work. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to see another alien queen.
Mm. I saw a cool video the other day behind the scenes at Weta, and they're making the alien for this series. It was very cool of them, how they could engineer the head to be so lightweight with all of the fucking servos that they put in it. So it was like controlling the jaw and the inner mouth, and there's like elliptical action, and then they've got like tubing that is inside the head that just pumps drool.
Yeah. I did see a little bit of that. I didn't see it with the sound on, so I didn't realize it was wetter. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still people out there complaining, like, it's like a guy in a rubber suit. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. It's a little bit Batman, but like the Batman suit from Batman Michael Keaton version. Like, it looks kind of high gloss rubber and not that kind of spindly exoskeleton feeling, but that's just how it's shot and it's okay. And you can have different things.
Yeah, and it's sometimes CGI. And sometimes it's attacking people while they're in period costume.
See, Peter, that's just one.
You get into that bit.
Yeah. Imagine the alien loose in the French Revolution.
Yep. Huzzah. Big wigs, lots of powdered faces and wigs. Very entertaining. Then a lot of bad things. So many bad things.
Like, how are we going with the cast? Are we following all of these stories? You enjoying that most of it are people who were in Andor?
Yeah. That God, one guy he from that. He was the brothers from the heist section.
Nemec from from that. But Alex Lawther is playing a human brother who is a medic for a rapid response police/military force that works in there, who's turning up. You know, I like him, but I just can't get past the fact that he's Nemec.
A little bit ruined for me.
And also, what's her name? Miss Fisher? Murder Mysteries?
Oh, right.
What's the actress's name?
I forgot. Essie Davis?
Yes!
Hey, there we
got
go.
Got an Aussie in the cast.
Yes, an Aussie in there. Yes. Sydney Chandler is playing the titular Wendy, who I think is the greatest alien of all, because she is the child's brain in a synthetic body who doesn't understand what's going on, or, you know, is just got that childlike overconfidence, but also all the children are useless. Like, it's a really interesting side that they're doing for that, and that is, I think, the interplay, which is, you know, this synthetic body is great. So you get, at one end, you get people who can do amazing, like, enhanced things. And other times, these things are kids and they make the worst fucking choices.
Yeah.
All the
very,
time.
Very, very dumb. A lot of the time. There are a bunch of characters in there that I'm kind of like, well, not a bunch. There are some characters who I'm like, oh, God, I really don't like him. Like, Boy Genius dipshit. He drives
me. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be that unlikable.
100%.
Well, his name is Boy Cavalier.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. So, yeah, my theory about I have many theories. I'm all about theories tonight. So how this one could potentially actually make Alien versus Predator Requiem an actual part of the story. Dion hates this.
I do.
So Alien AVP Requiem is, let's be honest, not a good film at all. But at the end of it, they find a Predator piece of weaponry, and that gets delivered to the Yutani Corporation. Miss Yutani, who would be about the right age to be the grandmother who sent the ship out to collect the specimens.
Ah.
So whether they do that or not, that's my headcanon, and I don't care.
Sure. But then you also have to accept the idea that the Predator is also part of this.
Yeah, it is.
And then all the Predator films 100%. Are also just adding things for Peter to watch.
I've seen that one Predator movie.
Which one? Arnold Schwarzenegger or Danny Glover?
No, the one the one
Prey. Oh, the Native American.
Prey, yes. Okay, that was a good one.
Yeah.
American Indian one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the only thing I've seen in the whole franchise.
Is that
a good one?
Is there anything we could say that would convince you that this is worth your time, Peter? Like, we're already sold. I feel like
yeah, we're all
you've really stuff. Lost me with the eyeballs, guys. Yeah, like, you shouldn't have mentioned the eyeballs.
I think Peter would be down for all the philosophical kind of stuff, but because it's all bookended by Alien and like body gory horror specifically, horror, I think,
which is my least favorite kind of gross horror.
But also you gotta remember it's TV body horror. It isn't like Existenz, it isn't like The Thing and stuff like that.
No, man, I thought this went fucking harder than some of the films.
Really?
The cat thing was pretty fucked up.
The cat thing was pretty fucked up.
But not that fucked up.
Like, also, like, sequences where there are just dismembered bodies and shit from wall to wall. I was like, sorry, we're not really selling you, are we, Pete?
But in context, it's all fine. Like, you know, there's no real... horrible.
Post-mortem. You didn't get to see it happen.
Genuine question that may help others decide if they want to watch it. Mm-hmm. Can you watch this having watched almost none of the rest of the franchise?
Think so.
Or do you need the background? Like,
you
have to go into this with research.
No, because actually the first one kind of opens with like, there's this, and there's this. Now go. And so it's kind of straightforward to jump into. No, I mean, if you have any kind of knowledge of Alien, like most people have seen what a xenomorph looks like or a chest burster, like there's plenty of context clues throughout it to help you along the way. But really at the end of it, like it's mostly about like the story of what's happening with these tech companies and the synthetic humans and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, not so much the aliens.
Yeah. And no, you definitely don't have to have gone back and watched all of Prometheus and all of, like...
No.
Like, to be honest, you could probably have not watched any of them and you'll get a reasonably well-told story that you will then be able to... leap off.
Yeah, and I mean, if you watch this and then you want to go and watch the other stuff, then maybe it did its job.
Sure.
One thing I do like about TV is that I enjoy being in a world of a story. Like, so one of the things that I really loved about Romulus was the first 20 minutes or whatever it was where it was on that planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're in the world of this particular science fiction future where it, you know, you're finding out about how that world works. So I love a TV show that gives me more time. Yeah. Like, you know, we're finding out about New Siam, which is the name of the city, which is entirely owned by a corporation. So it's a corporate megastructure. Everybody who lives there because of that corporation. There are the rich, there are the poor, there are, you know, all of these people, there are indentured bloody soldiers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I love that. And so it makes me really happy to be able to come back and be in that world week after week after week. So that, for me, is something that I really enjoy. And then there's horror and death.
It's fine. Yeah, look, this is the thing that it's inevitably way more interesting to figure out how the world operates around the idea of this alien thing. Like, you know, we'll get you in with the hook. The hook is alien. But actually, how everyone operates around those aliens is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's terrifying. It's
Xenomorph Queen's world, and we're just living
It's late-stage capitalism was always...
What does that look like?
Evil. Yeah, yeah. Late-stage capitalism is always the evil thing in the room. The alien killing things is like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, no, zombie cat. Yeah, back to the alien.
Oh, bugs that suck out all your blood.
They're fun, though.
Sweet relief from this capitalist society.
Yep. Yeah, being sucked dry by something that isn't.
One of the things that absolutely terrifies me more about this show they haven't really done, they've kind of established that there are about, one, two, three, four, alien species? But five. We can't. Was it five?
They state that they brought back five specimens.
Yeah, so we have. I don't think we've seen the fifth one. We've got Bloodsucker. Uh-oh. We've got Octopus. We've got like the eye octopus, the blood sucking insect, the weird plant. Hanging plant, and then the traditional xenomorph alien. And I don't know if we've seen the fifth one yet.
I think
Quinny, it's the Predator.
Yeah. Oh man, I would be so fucking impressed. I'm pretty sure there is something that we've seen in one of the specimen jars. Like there's a crawling thing that we have seen, but I don't know.
Right. But I mean, I feel like there should be more. And also, I want to know the story that they kind of allude to in that, which is like the amount of people that we lost getting these specimens. I'm like, how many did you lose? How many people were on that ship when it went out versus how, like, we knew that there were like seven, maybe eight people on the way back. How many did you go out?
How many went out?
Yeah.
And also, how many went out 65 years ago?
Sure.
Because that's how long that ship took to do the thing. And I love that as a part of that sort of world building as well, that they don't have faster than light travel. So, you know, these ships are, you know, you go into hypersleep and you know that when you come back, everyone you know is dead.
Yeah. Well, I love that part about the cyborg character. I really like that. The third episode is like, everyone that I ever knew or cared about is already dead. So I don't have anything but my work in these specimens and I'm going to get them back from where they've been absconded to. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Like you're going on a thing, you know, if I got up next episode, anyway, I'll be back in 140 years. So I hope you live.
Well, and also that's one of those things that like, if the other ships have then got better technology later, I can't remember where the story was. It was a sci-fi story where somebody sends like a generation ship, you know, and it's going to a planet. And then in the intervening years, the place sending the ships gets better and better technology. So eventually they send other ships that get their years faster. And eventually the people rock up and go, we're finally here. And they're like, oh God, no, you don't want to be here. We've ruined this place.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. It'd be like, you know, you're setting sail from England. And then the week after they develop the international flight.
Yep.
Jet flight. And people like turn up and like, oh, you finally got it. You've been away for like 6 months, 18 months. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Yeah. And we've got these aliens. So fuck it. I love the idea of expanding that alien universe too and making it and showing us more of the horrors of the universe. I want to know why a bug hunt is, you know, not a fun thing. So more, please.
More, please. Speaking of more, what more do we have? It's almost September. Fuck, how is it September already?
Blink and you miss it.
I don't want to know. It's September. I don't even know what's coming up next month.
I don't want to hear a single fucking person say it's this many sleeps until Christmas, because I think I might either kill them or myself.
I don't think you're allowed to say that before Halloween's done.
Technically, but I did see a post where somebody had seen Christmas shit in the stores and was just like, fuck me.
Was it one of those Christmas warehouses that are open 365? I saw Halloween gear at Daiso this evening.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
See, I'm down for, you know, getting into Halloween and shit, but also it's still the first half.
I thought, oh my God, Halloween already. I'm like, well, yeah, because like it's almost September.
Well, what do we got next month? Oh. Next month coming up, Spinal Tap 2.
Yes. I'm excited for that. No, I see from the look on the faces that maybe not so much anyone else.
Tron Ares, Gen V Season 2, Him. That's a.
I do want to see that.
Yeah. Slow Horses coming out. Something called The Bride. The It TV show. High on Jill's list.
No.
That's October. Yeah, look, I don't really know what. Yeah, that's a bit of a dry month, old Sep.
Yeah.
September? Well, I have nice Naked Gun. Oh, yes. Well, Quinny and I have seen Naked Gun.
Yeah, yes. I'm happy to talk about that at some point in time.
I want to finally get around to watching Together.
I don't know that one.
Dave Franco and Alison Brie's horror, body horror one. I'll get around to that.
We should probably find something Pete can watch.
Pete, do not ask me to watch Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning again. I can't.
Why don't we all review The Summer I Turned Pretty? That's big now. You guys will love it.
The Summer I Turned Pretty.
You won't hate me at all. It's going to be great.
Great. Is this like on Golden Pond?
No, Golden Pond is excellent.
Oh, dear. A
very valid piece of cinema, Dion.
I didn't say it wasn't. I was just asking the question.
I do want to shout out very quickly to Jezza, who asked when we were going to do our follow-up to the Prometheus. Not Prometheus.
Romulus
chat, where we talked about it in full spoilery details.
Right. We should get around to that. We'll have to
I will say, I thought the use of the line, get away from her, you bitch, was shit.
Fine.
That's it.
Fine. We'll do the Remus podcast another time.
Yeah. We'll drink all of our wolf milk and then get onto it.
Ew. Look, you know, look, I reckon we've got a lot to catch up with. Like the rest of this kind of month for me is going to be making sure I finish watching the TV shows that we have started. I need to finish watching Twisted Metal. I need to finish watching Chief of War. I need to finish watching Alien Earth and Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Can't start something new till we finish it off.
I had a lovely time on the weekend. I went, and me, like millions of other people around the world, went and watched K-pop Demon Hunters in the cinema.
So jealous.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they did a sing-along version, so don't be too jealous, because that was
brutal?
That was a thing.
Brutal.
Though I will say it wasn't so much of a sing-along as our parents mumble along.
Okay.
Like, there were a bunch of kids there and stuff like that, but everybody was kind of just doing that. Not really belting it out at all.
Okay.
Which I was kind of like...
Could have been more cringe, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I was expecting a little bit more, but what was funny is hearing the people mumble confidently for some of the song and then have that moment where they're like, oh, that is in Korean. Never knew what those words were.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But yeah, look, still a fucking banger. Mm-hmm. Like on a big screen and everything. I love that Sony keeps making these ripper films and then fucking giving them to other people for a pittance because they don't think they're going to have legs. That was my head in.
Crazy.
Anything else coming up this weekend?
Just a little show up in Rockhampton called Capricorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, Capricorn. If anybody is in regional Queensland and was looking for something to do on Saturday,
get along and see Jill.
To Capricorn. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be chatting cosplay with people, be belting dressed up like Barbie.
Yay!
It's a good day.
What sort of people and stuff are you going to be talking to? Do you know? Do you have, are there guests or anything?
I am doing strictly cosplay this weekend. So I'll be hosting everybody's cosplay panels and the children's cosplay comp and the normal cosplay comp with grown adults. but yeah, there's a few guests coming.
Oh, nice.
Some Aussie talent that's been in Disney's Descendants. We've got a chappie, Matt Doran, who was in Star Wars, and
Elan Sleazebago.
Sleazebagano, wasn't it?
Anyway, he wants to say,
I love that Dion's look then was just like, are you trying to fucking school me on Star Wars?
Yeah, Globshitto's going to be there.
He's going to try and sell you some death sticks.
Yep. You don't want him to sell you death sticks.
Yeah.
And we got medieval groups, and we've got rides and show bags and all sorts of cool stuff.
Sweet. Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun old time. I shall
up there, Jill.
Not be making it, though. But I hope you have fun.
I'll carry you in spirit.
Excellent.
Please do. Will you be going to Yipoon at all while you're
at No, I won't be making any detours to Yipoon. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent.
Then neither will we.
Yeah, no. My poon will be with me.
Perfect.
I love Peter's face.
Since it is coming up to September next week, if you've got any suggestions, let us know. If there's something we can watch or you want us to review. I think Predakanga was sitting there going, Only Murders in the Building is out next month.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Court Stealing. Honey Don't. Yeah, maybe a few things in there.
One that I did see that is coming up, The Long Walk. Which is
a short pier.
Yeah, well, yes. It's based on a Stephen King short story and is one of the most harrowing short stories. It's basically once every how many years, they just do this thing called the long walk where young guys just have to keep walking. And if you slow down beyond a certain point, they
keep on stepping.
Yep. They just shoot you. And yeah, the person who comes last wins. So. But it is a really good short story, so I kind of came to check that out.
Nice.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, then. Thanks for joining
us. Throwing some shade about the eyeballs. Saying hello to all of the people in the chat. A big love to all of our people in the chat. We love that you're here each and every week. You are wonderful. You support us. You give us lots to be entertained by. And also, your comments help us think of different and interesting things to say.
Yes. Amazing.
Good luck.
Well, that's it for us. We're going to go off because it's finally stopped raining in Sydney. So happy to not have to do that.
Spring has sprung.
All right. We'll see you all next week.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.